Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We're just a bunch of family men over here. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
No, I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, who, hilariously enough, is being targeted by local authorities because he allegedly illegally downloaded every episode of Columbo, but he thinks he's in trouble for being Greek. It's really something. You can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. It's Stoop Kids, and we're here to say we spell kids in a different way. With a Z. Also with us today is a very special returning guest, the first of two special returning guests that we'll have this episode. Please welcome back to the show, Erica Suey. Erica, how are you doing today?
Just swell. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, of course. You and your feline friends who are listeners will not have the pleasure of seeing because this is not that type of medium, but we're very happy to have you all back. It should be noted that we are here today to talk about episode 93 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 13, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called On the Lam. Original air date, December 8th, 2001. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Stinky, Harold, and Sid are on the run after they think they blew up the police station. And then this is just a side note. This is actually the second consecutive episode after not having it the entire series where the A and B episodes premiered on different dates. In this case, episode A debuted about 6 months before episode B. So if you're keeping tabs on that, because you're a cool weirdo, make note of that. That's very important, maybe. What is probably more important are the folks who made this episode possible. Christine Kolosoff directed episode A, Jonathan Greenberg wrote it, and Harry's going to give his takes first about it. Harry, what did you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks, Cody. I really like this episode. That probably doesn't come as a surprise to many people. I've grown mostly on this rewatch, actually, for the podcast to be a really big fan of the sort of quintessential stinky Sid and Harold episodes. I just really love that. I don't think I ever sort of interpreted them as like the B squad before, but now I can see that there are several episodes totally devoted to these guys, and I just love their goonish antics. I love how they're sort of like the more amoral or sort of like silly, sort of like prankster type characters that offset the sort of moral upstanding nature of Arnold, which I think might get a little bit dry after a while. I just think this episode is hilarious. I find it super relatable as a kid. I don't know. I never thought I blew up a police station, if only, right? But as a kid, I remember having all sorts of like moments like this in my childhood where I did something kind of innocuous, and as a result, I thought I was going to be in like a biblical amount of trouble, just like the most trouble that anybody's ever been in, right? Like going to jail as a 7-year-old boy or whatever. And then it never ended up being a big deal, but there was something about the fact that it was just sort of like you were already feeling a little guilty the way that Harold and Stinky and Sid were about stealing the rockets, right? And then when it looks like they blew up the police station, it's just what they need to like really tip the scale over into total paranoia. I kind of like that this episode ends up not scolding them really very much at all, other than sort of punishment is time served, right? Like they have this elaborate plan to get out of Dodge. They tie up Arnold, all of that stuff. But by the end of the episode, it's just sort of like laughed off instead of being treated as anything serious, which I think is like really the right tone to strike, particularly because, you know, although, you know, you can take Mr. Simmons' side and say you really shouldn't be stealing rockets from the school, they were doing what they were doing out of legitimate sort of curiosity and, you know, an interest in what they were doing. So maybe not totally worth punishing so badly. And I kind of like where this ends up, right? I like how it ends up sort of letting Stinky and Sid and Harold off as the rambunctious pranksters they are, and maybe even sort of leaving room for the idea that it's okay to be a Stinky or a Sid or a Harold, right? It's like maybe like these goons are not actually all bad, right? Maybe their sort of antics, self-defeating though they may be, are part of childhood that's worth exploring, right? And I think that like these sort of episodes with the quote unquote B-spot squad are such a different energy, and I've come to really appreciate them, and this episode just really felt like a breath of fresh air, particularly after I guess our last two, not to sort of tip my hat too much to last episode, but I'm really interested in what everybody else thinks as well.
Yeah, me as well. I think that's a pretty good characterization of these rambunctious pranksters. The most rambunctious prankster I know is Emily, so it's only fair that we turn to her next. Emily, what did you think about this episode?
Thank you. Yes, even more fitting that this episode came out on my birth date. So how nice. I really like this episode. I think, just like Harry was saying, this ragtag team of buddies is really funny. It's super on character for all three of them, too. Like, each of their lines are so good. The fact that Sid is, like, super paranoid and is like, oh my god, we're wanted criminals, we're wanted by the feds. Stinky's got all these, you know, gee willikers lines, and is talking about hot sauce on his hot pants. Harold's going up to Arnold and being like, aren't you listening, Arnold? We blew up the police, which, like, hell yeah, that's a great line and idea for the series. Could have done a whole mini series, I feel like, on this group of three and their antics. But yeah, Sid also being like, should we join witness protection program, or like, what should we do here? I don't know, just really great character development and characterization for all of them. They play off of each other so well too, like Harry was saying, like they just work really well and they're really well-written characters. So to have them here thinking that they blew up the police station when in fact it was Ernie and his crew, which happened in, you know, the cartoon coincidence-like fashion, hilariously. The fact that they're wearing these 70s-style disguises with the peace signs and the hair. And, yeah, I also just love the setting that they're in, the train yard setting, especially rules. We've got the beautiful night sky with the full moon and the stars are out, and, like, all the purples and greens and browns and the street lamps and the factory buildings all over the place. The train itself that they kind of jump in between. It's just like really beautifully done. And the art department here is firing on all cylinders, as per usual. Usually got really great art department going on. But yeah, I also thought it was pretty funny that Arnold was tied up in the basement of the boarding house by them, who thought they really had done a number on the cops and needed to get out of town. So Grandpa comes down and thinks Arnold is just playing secret agent with the tape over his mouth and being chained to the chair. He's by himself in the basement, and Grandpa thinks that Arnold is playing secret agent.
Grandpa also goes far enough as to tell all of the other boarders that Arnold is down there playing secret agent, which I thought was so sweet of Grandpa. Like, way to go the extra mile. It just, like, Ernie comes downstairs and he's like, now, Arnold, I'm just coming down to get a Yahoo. I know you're playing secret agent. I don't want to bother you.
Yeah. Like, Grandpa's so proud of him that, oh, my boy's so creative. He's just down there playing games. So great. And I even like just seeing Grandpa and, was it Ernie or somebody, just hanging out in the living room. We don't get to see the living room that much, or that angle of it, maybe. But I was just loving the art direction all around. And even that like Marge-like Fargo cop appeared at the end. We've seen her before. Great skyline ending in the night sky. And man, yeah, a really fun one with all three of them going crazy together.
I agree. Pretty fun one, and dare I say it, a fun episode of Stew Kids that we have on our hands. I'm getting worse at segues as the series goes. Erica, we'll toss it over to you. What did you think about these kids going on the lam?
Thank you. I loved it. I had to look. Did you guys have to look up what on the lam was? Because I had to look up that phrase. It just for our listeners who haven't yet Googled it. I think it just means to escape and jump on a train, hobo style.
Right. I've seen enough movies from the 1950s when that was a big thing that I knew what it was, but I can see why you would not know.
It's kind of gangstery. I don't know. Anyway, so loved the episode. I think kind of like both of you guys were saying, it's like a different sort of episode. I like how it's it was never like pro cop. It was like neutral to anti-cop. I think that like the cops like misidentify like three young boys in like one and a half wigs like a couple of like they're incompetent at best. Like, did you guys love the scene when he gets on the bus and it's just full of people in uniform and they're like all kinds of uniforms? There's like a couple of firemen. Like, I'm not afraid of the firemen. Get on a bus.
Yeah, it's so they're like Sandinistas on the back of the bus or like rebel fighters or something. It's like every single form of armed authority.
just so funny, so great, so many really funny lines from Stinky. When he's like, nobody here but, I can't do the accent, nobody here but us boxes, before they jump on Arnold. And the whole way they just tie Arnold up, take all their reason and lock it in the basement of their brains and just go on the lam. Just so funny. So, oh, and the lost posters that Harold's parents make. And, okay, do these children not know how to read? Because they look at it, and they're like, wanted poster. Anyway, just hysterical, nonstop fun. Loved it. Hot pants. Oh, my God. Amazing.
Man, hot pants is... I forget where it got referenced, if it was somebody here or like on Hey Arnold adjacent social media, but someone somewhere brought up the hot pants line at some point. So I was prepared for it. It still blew me away when it happened. And I guess that is to say, I like that this particular flavor of episode feed, like these B Squad sort of episodes, they feed into the, I don't want to say tropes, like the characterizations that we've come to acknowledge and appreciate with, like, you know, this particular threesome. Like, Sid and Harold have their each brand of like paranoid excitability when under duress, like if they get in trouble for mooning the principal or something, or literally anything happens, Sid's freaking out. But then like Stinky's response to this type of pressure is just like very calmly saying the funniest things imaginable. The hot pants, the I got a real kick out of, oh, nobody here but us boxes. I can't do the accent either. So I don't know why I tried. So that's, yeah, all of that is great. Like the, yeah, I mean, I thought of the mooning episode, and just because like the only way I can contextualize pieces of media like this is by referencing similar pieces of media. Like, I immediately thought of the SpongeBob episode where SpongeBob and Patrick steal a balloon, but it's on free balloon day. And
yes, so that same, yep, absolutely.
That same type of dramatic irony that's feeding into this, the viewers in the know the whole time, just like, you guys, like, you only did something that was sort of bad. Like, you're not in that much trouble. And by the end of it, I think, as it's been brought up, again, these kids aren't in trouble. They are getting laughed at, which I think is appropriate because throughout the course of this episode, they are the three dumbest people in the entire world. With no literacy capabilities, like that poster, like clearly like a lost poster, not a wanted poster. Great gag. But also because these three guys have been real shysters in previous episodes. And I think just the immediacy of watching those and thinking about those, you know, episodes where like Sid and Snakey have been really antagonistic towards Harold or something like that. It was nice to see them get laughed at a little bit. Maybe that's the sadist in me. But regardless, for those and other reasons that y'all articulated super well, I found myself really liking this episode.
Hell yeah. And it's making me think about the very, very first episode of Arnold's, minus the pilot, which I haven't seen actually, Downtown as Fruits, where we have Arnold and Gerald in their disguises and getting misidentified all over town. And it's got that good energy going for it, but with this nice B-squad that we've grown to know so well by now.
Yeah, I think, Cody, you alluded, I guess we all alluded to this a little bit, but one of the things that I like in particular about this episode, it's sort of like the signature idea of this episode, and I just found it so relatable and so resonant with being a kid, which is that I love that all three of these characters are actually making relatively sound, logical decisions if what is happening to them, it was actually happening to them, right? So like if you can accept the totally ridiculous premise that they have come to accept, like Stinky's like, well, I've got a grandma down south. She lives off the grid. We could go live with her. It's like, we're going to jump on a train station. It's like, guys, like the fact that they are able to articulate and come up with this plan so quickly, and like they get disguises to avoid the cops. It's ridiculous. And also, like, I don't know, there was something so funny to me about like the burgeoning reasoning skills of these kids being sort of like tested in this manner, where it's like they're just young enough to accept such a ridiculous, absurd premise, but they're also old enough to sort of like be able to follow it through to its logical conclusions in a way that made the episode even funnier. Erica, like you said, another great thing about this is that there are kind of three plots happening at once, right? Because there's the Arnold plot, and then there's the plot with Harold's parents. And I think all three of them are like perfectly done, right? It's just enough weight given to eat all three of them. Harold's mom is so funny with the recurring thing where she immediately freaks out just like Harold does. It's just, I think it's like, it's a super confident episode that's just really firing on all cylinders. And it was really, really fun to come back to.
Yeah, agreed. And come to think of it, I mean, there is a sort of counterbalance that needs to happen within this world to make the tone really sing. Like, this would have been, I think, a perfectly fine episode if Harold, Stinky, and Sid were the only ones exuding idiotic energy, but you get it from all sides, and y'all have done a great job like remarking on these already, but like the Borders not realizing that, just like, oh, Arnold's not here, like Arnold's just playing a silly game. He's not playing a silly game. This is real life. It's dangerous. His friends are out being stupid somewhere. But also the fact that shout out to the really dumb cops in this movie, but like they're also extremely. Three kids are missing, and there are three kid-sized people wearing the most like absurd random disguises that were found in the boarding house's mothy basement. Like, what are we doing here? Ooh, sir, you dropped your peace medallion. It's like, those are clearly children. But it was really funny. But again, the fact that this world is sort of folding in on itself, and like we're getting this goofy, zany, lampoony energy from like more than just these three guides. There are sort of guardrails being presented throughout this episode to kind of keep this charade going the full 13 minutes, which is, again, extremely silly, but I really appreciated it.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of dramatic irony, right, in the sense that like we know all the time that Stinky, Sid, and Harold are not in any real danger. They're not actually in trouble. And I think that that, along with the sort of guardrails, as you referred to them, Cody, it's kind of important for like, it's really important to disarm any sense of like actual danger and paranoia, right? Like, it has to be presented as absurd from the start in order for the comedy of the episode to work. And so I think that was a really astute move on their part as well.
an astute move, one might say. I won't say.
I also like how the episode is kind of like bookended with like rationality, like with Mr. Simmons, like science is in fact very cool. And then at the end, he's like, I'm going to punish you a little bit about it for real though. Like, I'm like, yes, Mr. Simmons, like dial it back. You're in charge. Science is cool. Just love that. Just love him.
I like to think of it as he's punishing them for not appropriately following the scientific method. Like just throwing all of it at the wall at once and going for the biggest explosion. That's just bad form. Bad academia.
I was thinking about how wild it is that there's that whole plot as well in the episode because of how much else happens. We have the Simmons bookending it with the science experiment. What a great one.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Are there any other scenes or moments or shout outs that we want to give for this episode? It feels like a hype reel or like a highlight reel. The more we think about it, it's just like, I don't know, a lot of really good gags. What else really hit y'all in a good way?
Yeah, I have two shout outs. The biggest laugh this episode got for me was probably when I can't remember. I think it was Sid is like, well, we should probably go to the authorities. And Harold goes, we can't go to the authorities. We just blew up the authorities. It's just like another great example of that. Like, well, he's got a point. Like, if you did blow up the authorities, like you can't really exactly they're not going to respond favorably to you. And then on a similar note, the entire like extended bit where Sid is talking about how they can go into the witness protection program and take new identities. And then Harold explains, like he lays out how the witness protection program works. He's like, no, stupid. That's for people that rat on the criminals, not the criminals. It's like just the idea that Harold would know this about criminal, the identity protection program, but not be able to sort of like put together the pieces that, oh, we probably didn't blow up the police station. It's just really, really funny. So, a lot of really great comedy in this episode.
Such good witness protection program representation in this one. And I just wanted to say some of my favorite lines that I haven't said yet. I like when Stinky goes, Willikers, look at all them rockets. And then the fact that they have a huge vat of Louisiana hot sauce with the half gallon of vinegar that helps them blow up the police station, in quotes. Great stuff. I wonder where they got all of that. And then one last line, Arnold saying, Grandpa, I wasn't playing secret agent. I was bound and gagged for 2 hours. One of the most insane Arnold lines in the series.
An amazing line. I have just one or two. When Stinky goes, we're yella. just saying that they're cowardly, hysterical. I could just listen to that on a repeat. And who's the Mr. Construction Man?
That's Ernie.
Thank you. I didn't even write down the line. I just wrote Nimrods because he called them Nimrods. And I think we should bring that back. I think that's a hysterical thing to call something, especially three dorky ass little boys. Just so funny. I laughed the whole time.
Agreed. We need to bring back not just Nimrod, the term of not really endearment. I mean, maybe, I don't know, I could see myself endearingly call someone a Nimrod, but isn't that also a Green Day album? We got to bring back all forms of Nimrod, right? Probably
that everybody's is a Green Day album. Great. I believe,
yeah,
right,
yeah, right. We're taking very firm stances this week. But now I think we got to pause. This episode made a secret agent look pretty fun. So why don't we break, play around with that. But dear listener, don't touch that dial because we'll be right back after we play secret agent. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. This week, a second half episode means a second guest, so please welcome back to the program, Ellie DeMuth. Ellie, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. It's great having you. We are jumping into episode B, and that episode is called Family Man. Original air date, June 1st, 2002. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Mr. Wynn has Arnold pretending to be his son, Susie as his wife, and Phil and Gertie as his parents for his new employer in order to get a promotion, as his new boss loves families. Mr. Wynn does not want to reveal he only has his daughter and risk losing the promotion to his coworker who has a wife and children. So that's the episode we're working with. And the director and writer that we're working with for this episode B are Frank Weiss and Steve Vixton, respectively. Let's get into some takes. Emily, we'll start with you this time. What did you think about this episode?
Thanks for asking, Cody. I think that Mr. Wynn should be the head chef. I think that he's a shoo-in. He's clearly the best chef. He's got a great head on his shoulders. And he is a family man in the sense that his boarding house family is a family, even if it's a non-traditional one. And that's what we learn in the episode. The boarders care about each other. They are goofy and silly and not related, but they all live in the same place and they care for each other and they care about where they live. And it's a community, and that's what family is all about. So that's great. I think the bits are pretty funny. The whole thing about the taco with the cheese first, then the tomatoes, then the meat, that being an insane way to make a taco. It's pretty funny because you can make a taco literally anyway, but you know what? I like that they... Oh, Cody's grimacing at me like I'm wrong. Please
cheese and then
jump in.
Yeah, you know, I can't come in too hot. Please continue. Sorry.
Yeah, what are they, freaking lunatics over here? Cheese first? I don't know. I'm from Wisconsin, as are my cousins. So cheese first doesn't seem that crazy to me, but...
You're right. I should defer. I apologize.
I like that the restaurant is El Patio. I don't have any reasoning about that, but I think the boss that comes in, at first I'm like, oh, don't know about this guy. He really is favoring the one white guy who's got a big family picture up on the wall. And for what reason? He's just like a regular chef. And why has he got a, why is his family on the wall of that restaurant, El Patio? Seems like doesn't make any sense. Not fair to everyone else unless they all have family pictures elsewhere in El Patio. But at first you're like, uh-oh, this is maybe a bit racist. I don't like this guy at all, the boss. And then Mr. Wynn and everyone go in on the hoax of pretending to be a related family. They keep messing it up, of course, and very soon are found out by this boss. And Arnold, hilariously, Arnold convinces this boss to not fire Mr. Wynn. Quite a feat for a fourth grader. He goes off on this spiel that they're maybe not a normal family, but they're still a family, and they care about each other. And hey, don't fire my friend, Mr. Wynn. Kind of a wild episode. I was nervous about that boss and what he was going to do and who he was going to put in power and why. And, when Mr. Wynn is so clearly the best chef, as is characterized a lot in the episode. So I don't know. And cheese first seems fine though to me, but otherwise pretty wild time, all around.
Pretty wild. I would prefer a base of protein, and then if you want to throw cheese on the protein, especially so it gets all like melty and gooey. I know that is kind of counter to what like Taco Bell does. I think they put the cheese on top and leave it unmelted. All that is to say, Harry, you should start talking. What'd you think about this episode, my man?
I never thought I would hear you criticize Taco Bell, Cody. That's a wild take.
It's not a criticism. Tacos are different. Everybody can do things differently, and we're having a good time.
That's a beautiful statement. I'm glad you brought up the boss, Emily. I think, first of all, I agree with you. I think this is a really – it's a good, sweet episode, right? It's sort of like – this is too pejorative, but it's sort of saying the quiet part loud, right, about these sort of boarding house episodes. They're all kind of about the virtues of non-traditional families. This one just, like, comes out and does it in, like – full-on explicit Full House monologue at the end of the episode style, which, you know, like, I think it's like the right move, probably. Especially, I think it's really cool that, like, the episode is fundamentally about how you specifically shouldn't be ashamed of your non-traditional family, and how shame creates this sort of like inferiority complex that creates its own problems, and Mr. Wynn gets to get over that. I think that's a good arc. It does get wrapped up in some weird stuff, probably not intentionally, but like, first of all, like this boss who is like very clearly a rich guy, very clearly like a model of the sort of like conservative business owner who likes to lord his sort of like personal values over his employees. The problem with sort of like being a quote unquote family man and having a traditional family, particularly when it's sort of a mandate on how workers should behave, is that in real life, that's a dog whistle, right? It's a racist dog whistle. This episode like almost kind of gets there, right? Where it sort of like alludes to the fact that like Mr. Wynn doesn't have a traditional family because he was separated from his traditional family during the Vietnam War, right? Like they literally make that point, and they literally start to sort of like allude to the fact, like even Arnold's whole speech at the end of the episode is about how it's ridiculous that this guy was letting his own sort of like family first, quote unquote, policy, define how he was interacting with his employees and running his business, because that's not a cool thing to do. The problem is that they get that far and then they kind of capitulate, right? Where they say like, oh, but like this non-traditional family is a family. So like actually Mr. Wynn does possess all of the values you're looking for. You just have to expand what you're thinking about when you're thinking about families. And also like fundamentally, this guy turns out to be a reasonable, nice guy, right? Like this boss ends up being sort of like, well, like I actually can see that now. I've learned my lesson and I'm going to promote the right person, and all is well that ends well, right? It's sort of like, it's maybe not super fair. Like, I'm not trying to demand like my leftist politics be modeled onto Hey Arnold. I've done that in plenty of other episodes that you can listen to, but it is a little bit like, I don't know. Like, I think that like giving the boss this out and making him sort of benevolent in the end, it sort of like undermines the message of this, which is that actually like he is the problem here, right? Like it wasn't even Mr. Wynn's sort of inferiority complex, which was making him nervous, which is kind of where the episode lays the blame for what he's doing. It's like, no, Mr. Wynn is nervous for a good reason, right? He's nervous because his boss is a racist, basically, or if not a racist, then at least has very traditional politics that he's letting define how he runs his business. And that is what creates the tension at the heart of this episode, not necessarily just that Mr. Wynn is paranoid, right? So I guess I would have liked to have seen this episode grapple a little bit more with that and maybe do a little bit more to sort of point out how rotten the ideology that's being espoused by the boss at the beginning of this episode really is. But that being said, like, I think that clearly the reason why this episode was created was, again, to sort of like espouse pride in non-traditional families and how non-traditional families can be just as good or even better than traditional families. You can still learn things. You can still have great values imparted by those people. Those people can care about you just as much as a traditional family. All of that is like great, right? Like that's just like capital G, great stuff to like put in a children's program. Like that's what it should be all about. I think that like we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, right? Like that's kind of what the whole show Hey Arnold is about, especially like Hey Arnold's character being this sort of like a person who is molded by a non-traditional family into something that is obviously so great. It's just that I think that like they kind of stumble on execution, if that makes sense.
I think that does make sense. Really great characterization so far. Let's pivot to Ellie. Ellie, how did you come away from this episode? How are you feeling?
So, I did show this to my 6th, 7th, and 8th graders again, like I did last time. And we changed it up a little bit. Today we had a 90s class period, which meant no phones, no Chromebooks, only Hey Arnold on the TV, and they did their best at making some little 90s drawings, which I can share later.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I don't know if they super knew what the 90s were, but they're very cute drawings. But the scene was very wholesome and precious. There was some kids playing with slime while they watched. Some were like laying on the tables. It was, they were angels. But anyways, I focused on a few main questions with this, like, what's the lesson of the story? How does it maybe relate to your life and who do you connect with? Lesson of the story, they decided it was don't lie or be ashamed, especially about your family. These are direct quotes from sixth grade students. How does it relate to your life? A lot of them talked about the need to impress people or like the need to fit in with a certain group or a certain individual. And I really liked this quote. Sometimes you lie to make your life easier, but really it makes your life harder. That was a good one. And then characters that you connect with. We did watch the whole episode, so a lot of them really liked Harold. Was not involved in this episode at all. That was like all-time favorite. But one student did say, I like Mr. Nguyen. He has a really cool accent and he totally owns it, which is precious. Overall, they loved it. We had to watch Hey Arnold for the remaining like 60 minutes of class because they were obsessed. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's joyful, right? It spans generations. And I think that's great.
I think after we conclude this podcast, we should just do another podcast that's your class watching every single episode of Hey Arnold, because every time you come on, that makes me so happy. And it's so sweet. And also, like, I didn't even really like think about how the need to impress people would weigh so heavily on the minds of contemporary watchers of this episode. But it's huge, right? And like, particularly like the need to impress people, even if you think the reasons why you're trying to impress them aren't like good, right? It's like Mr. Nguyen doesn't think that he needs a traditional family, right? But just trying to sort of like impress this person who has power over him is making him feel that, right? And in the process, making him feel shame. So I think that they characterize that mechanism really, really well. I'm impressed, I guess.
Yeah, no, your kids rule. I'm putting that on the record because I'm very confident that it's true. And yeah, I mean, like, those are great takeaways because, I mean, and it's like this new boss dangling carrots in the way that he's doing and prompting Mr. Nguyen to have that crisis of like, should I lie to, you know, further myself? Will that make things easier? Will that make things undoubtedly harder? And seeing it from his perspective and like him having this crisis is one thing, but this episode goes even further to loop in, like, we get the perspectives of everybody else who is in on this charade. And one detail I loved is the fact that Susie and Ernie are like, yeah, like, let's do it. Like, this is like what like we like they their fundamental understanding of like what this little family they have, like a non-traditional family, like they're all bought into it. And so like them going forth and putting on the, like helping Mr. Nguyen put on the charade is like not a crisis for them. They're very like, yeah, like we're basically like family already. Let's go ahead and do this. And for Mr. Nguyen to have to like come to that from a different angle and, you know, come to terms with, there's like, well, I should just, you know, I, in the same way that it's been pointed out that he rocks his accent, he rocks everything else about him. He has to rock his non-traditional family in the way that makes him feel most comfortable. Even during a dinner sequence that got me thinking of the Steamed Hams Simpsons sequence that had so much of that energy. Again, I can only contextualize TV shows through referencing other TV shows. So yeah, no, I really like what your kiddos got to, like they really got to the heart of it. And this is a very rich episode. This episode said, yeah, we're Hey Arnold. Maybe you've heard of us. Welcome to the show. Family is complicated, a very complicated idea. Ever heard of it? So, but that's, I mean, they're really good at exploring that idea. So there's, yeah, I mean, it's super rewarding every time.
I did love how quickly Susie was on board. She's like, I could pretend to be Mrs. Wynn for a night. It's like, oh, Susie. She's just like, if I don't, I can pretend not to be married to Oscar for a night. It's like, I'm on. That was very funny. Also, very hilarious that Oscar, as always, selfishly motivated, just wants free tacos, which apparently the only the head chef can give away. And so the entire time he's sort of like, oh, I have to get Mr. Wynn this promotion because that's my ticket to free tacos. Thought that was very, very funny, very fitting. I think all the characters in this episode are firing on all cylinders. We even get a great grandma moment where she, because everybody else is pretending, she insists on pretending she's Mary Queen of Scots, right? And further throwing a wrench in the dinner scene, which is extremely reminiscent of Steve Hams. I didn't think about that, but I laughed really hard when you said that. It, particularly his combination of skepticism and but also like willingness to accept the sort of premise where he's just like, wait.
And very pointed questioning.
Yeah,
it's like, exactly. But I thought you said he was your son. It's like, what?
How could your son have introduced you to your husband? And then he's like, well, we were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so we named our son Arnold after Arnold Schwarzenegger because the movie star introduced us. And he's like, I see. You know, and it just moves on. That's a really great scene.
I do. It does feel like a while since we've gotten like a Pookie moment. I know that's not true. Like, she shows up in the background, I think, in more of these episodes that I can remember, but there hasn't been a substantive like grandma like role in an episode in a while. It's usually her doing something like this. Oscar had one of those moments too where he said, I can't even remember if I wrote it down, he's some weird guy sliding down the stair banister. He wanted to, it, which is counterintuitive because like he would want the charade to go well so that he can get free tacos. There's no sense in him like throwing a wrench into this scheme and just like further complicating it. But then again, Oscar is not a very bright dude, as the series often reminds us. I did also get a sense of Susie was like, oh, I could be not, you know,
I'm just saying she agreed like immediately.
Yeah. Dark flashbacks back to that episode where we explore the depths of their haunted, twisted relationship, Susie and Oscar. So I'm sure she, was nice to have a little sabbatical from all that. I don't know. What else are we thinking about this episode? What were some of the, you know, other standout moments we didn't get to? Dangling threads, any other, you know, big questions, big earth-shattering metaphorical what is the meaning of life as questions from the youth of our country, anything of the sort with regards to Family Man?
I will say the biggest laugh that this episode got was when the boss asked, like, that he arrived at the house and immediately was like, I need a drink. And then they all sat down with a glass of milk. And the kids were like, ew, miss, this is gross. Why?
I feel like that itself is a big 90s thing, right? Is that I feel like I was drinking glasses of milk all the time when I was a kid. And that's just not a thing kids do anymore, maybe? Or maybe not. I don't know.
I gotta say, I went back, well, this pulling back the curtain a little bit as to when we're recording this. It was Easter weekend last weekend, and I went back home just to like have a home cooked meal with the family, because you know that's what you do. Instant life upgrade. Food that is made by somebody other than me. It was a really good meal, and I had a glass of milk from my hometown refrigerator. Can't remember the last time I just had a glass of milk. You know what? It really took me back. I don't know. Kids drink milk. I don't know. I was a big milk kid. And it was white milk too. Not even the chocolate stuff. I was, I was brought back to a different time in a different place. And, I was okay with it. Milk good, TBH.
Kids these days don't even grow up watching the chug-a-log milk commercials. And it really shows. So shame on all you kids who don't chug milk every day after school. I guess it is very strange that we did that all the
you
time in the 90s.
And also, like, it was like I'd very
come home and have
right?
a snack and oh,
yeah. It was like super important, right? At least that's what I remember. Is that, did your family constantly tell you that too, Emily, where it was like you have to build strong bones and teeth?
Yeah, calcium is so important, but also it's the best thing to go with any chocolatey after school snack, especially if you're going to have a stack of Oreos or Dunkaroos or something, brownies, whatever we had at the house. Chocolate and milk are a perfect pairing.
And yeah, I mean, the thing with chocolate milk is I think I read like one, that's one, dear listener, academic study somewhere that said it was like the best thing to have after a workout. And I was like, all right, putting on the blinders, la, 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 not looking into this any further. Another excuse for me to drink even more chocolate milk. Hey, fine by me, twist my freaking arm. So that was my life for a while. I should get back into it. I should become a chocolate milk guy.
That sounds very not right to me.
No,
to be honest,
it's science.
You're
sorry,
right.
Sorry to break it to you.
I can't argue with that one study that you read that one time. It's unassailable, so you're right.
Well, and to bring us full circle, I also read one academic study. Some, it was just like some Olympian, can't remember the sport, but just like his diet consists entirely of just like pigging out on Taco Bell because he works out so often. You need to be able to get the calories back in your system in very like compact packages, like really, really quickly. And the best outlet for that is Taco Bell. So like if I were just an elite, like, you know, world level athlete, I could have a lot more Taco Bell.
What do you mean if? I don't understand.
Oh boy. Any other lingering threads or shout outs from this particular episode?
I'm just thinking about all the milk I drank as a kid and whatever happened to me since then, what went wrong? Why am I just an oat milk kid now? I'm remembering even Nestle had like the big milk jugs or whatever that were like cookies and cream milk or like dark chocolate milk that was probably 200 grams of sugar, and we would chug them because, you know, it's good for you.
I'm going to throw this out there because this just totally blows my mind. We don't even serve chocolate milk at our school. We only have white milk, and it's mostly just dumped out, and then they like close the carton back up so they can step on it and make a loud noise. That's like the only excuse to get milk at lunch.
Well, it's good to know that some things haven't changed. We've lost chocolate milk, but the big loud noise thing is still an old standby. That's great. Wow, cartons of milk. This is very nostalgic.
It is. Wow, you know what? And that's getting to the heart of it. That's what this little show is all about. Charlie Brown. Oh, great. Now we got to pay for copyright for Charlie Brown. Well, no, we're recording this in Minnesota. I think we're fine. Well, this has been delightful. I'll outro our episode B guest and then our episode A guest. It's like the full nesting inception of it all. I'm just speaking that aloud for myself more than anything else. But Ellie, thank you so much for joining us yet again. Where can people find you? Do you want to plug anything? Is there anything you, if this feels suitable to let your kiddos listen to, is there anything that you want to say to them that you can answer for, you know, several weeks into the future, anything of the sort? The floor is yours.
I will shout out all my students, of course, will listen to this in class. As far as finding me on anything, I have nothing. So that's all. Thank you for having me.
Tough but fair, ever elusive. No, thank you so much. And Erica, thank you as well. Great having y'all back. And Erica, you as well. Anything that you want to plug? Where can people find you? If you want to be found, that's totally fair too. Anything like that.
Well, if anyone, I guess, had a curiosity, you could find me on Instagram at Erica Sui.
Thank you both very much. The family, the Emily family tree has deep roots, and we love exploring those and using those to help contextualize childhood programming that we once loved and love even more now. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want this episode to end, so I'll just go ahead and end it. Thank you, dear listener. Dear listeners, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mackin. Ellie, I'm very glad that you reminded us that you would be having your kids listen to this only at the end, because if you had told us at the start, I would have been very nervous. So hi, kids. Hope you're having a good day. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Thanks for joining again, cousins. Hope to see you all at the next Family Festivus. That includes everyone listening. Of course, everyone's invited. I've been Emily Suey. You could find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And now I got hot pants. Darn.